Hello and welcome to The Logistics Tribe. I'm Boris Felgendreher, founder of The Logistics Tribe, and today's episode is hosted by Marco Prügelmeier. Marco sat down with Tobias Herrick. Tobias is part of the management team at IPOLOG, an interlogistics and production planning software company based in Germany. He's also host of Fabrik der Zukunft, a German-speaking podcast about the factory of the future. So both Marco and Tobias are interlogistics experts, and in this episode, they discuss the current state and future of interlogistics planning. Quite an important and exciting topic. Enjoy.
Hello, Tobias. Welcome to the Logistics Tribe.
Hello, Marco. Thanks to be here. It's great to be part of your podcast today.
Yes, yeah. And you are actually a kind of a planning expert for me. So what I would like to do is to talk a little bit about the planning of the future, logistics planning of the future. But before we start into that, maybe you could give our audience a little overview on your person and also your company, IPOLOG, so that they know who they are listening to.
Yeah, right. I'd like to give you some insights at the beginning. So my name is Tobias Herwig. I'm part of the management team of IPOLOG. So I by myself started my career with assembly and factory planning and lots of logistics planning. So material flow optimization, planning of completely new factories or optimization of the logistics inside of existing factories. And this was the start of my career, and I had a lot of experiences in different companies all over the world. So starting with small, medium-sized enterprises to the big corporates you already know. And it was a really great experience to see all of these factories. So if I talk about logistics, my main background is logistics inside a factory. So I think that's the first thing you need to know. With this experience in the background, I started at IPOLOG. So at this time, IPOLOG provides logistic planning and factory planning services, but they started to develop a software called IPOLOG as well. And together with the software, I did some projects and I started to build up sales and marketing for the software. And so this was the start, more and more going into the management. And now I'm responsible for all customer-related stuff at IPOLOG. So starting with marketing, going to sales, and with our IT service team as well. IPOLOG is a logistic planning software. So not only logistic, but also assembly planning as part of the overall factory planning. So I'm really experienced in all these topics, talking about data, talking about simulation, talking about digital 3D planning of logistics. So, and that's, yeah, I'm happy to talk about this topic with you today.
Well, thank you very much. Yeah, let's start with one special topic that I always have in mind when it comes to the future of logistics planning, and that's VR, virtual reality. is this something that you are already in with IPOLOG, or how do you see it?
Yeah, so I think a really important part is always visualization of data. Yeah, so that means if you talk about planning, it's a creative process, and to support this creative process, you need to involve a lot of people. So especially if you talk about logistics planning, so logistics planning has a lot of different interfaces. If we talk about production, if you talk about incoming logistics, inbound logistics, if you talk about the overall factory planning and so on. So it means you need to have the communication with a lot of people and, of course, with the complete hierarchy. So starting with your boss down to the shop floor. And the best language we could have is visualization. Mm-hmm. So that's the reason why I think visualization is really important if you talk about logistics planning. But I think it don't need to be VR. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So VR could helpful. So if you talk about our software IPOLOG, it's just one click. You have a file which you could use for every VR viewer. And a lot of our customers use this. But that's not the really important part. The more important part to have these 3D data and to make it visible really easy. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So for everyone. And sometimes it's better to have a desktop and to have a visualization than have no visualization. But of course, sometimes it's great to see a complete factory with all AGVs and Tucker trains and so on in 3D inside a VR. Yeah, so that's impressive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I really like that approach because what you're saying is that in some use cases it really makes sense. Yeah, and you want to have a 3D visualization of the environment. I could imagine that it's very helpful for the line site planning, for example.
Yes,
if you got your shelves at the assembly side or at the assembly line, and you have to actually decide, does this additional bin fit there or not, and so on. So there it could be really helpful.
Yes, but let's take one note, because I know that there are some use cases to say, okay, let's start to put every box into the rack, put the rack to this line side, and see does it fit or not. But with Epoch, we have a completely other approach. Okay. We have clever algorithms in the background which do it completely automatically. Mm-hmm. And with just one click, you could have a look at it in VR. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, of course, it's perfect to plan this in VR, or it seems to be perfect, but it's a lot of manual work. It's easy to automate. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so VR is more like a communication for us, because we see, especially this use case, it's much faster if you automate this, especially if you talk about changes in the, for example, production program or the line balancing. We could automatically update the line set material. Mm-hmm. And you could jump into VR or in your 3D application and see the changes. So. Mm-hmm.
So it's actually even better. And are you already using some kind of AI algorithms in the background, or neural networks or something like to do this planning? Or is it just a like standard planning task?
Right now we don't use AI. So it's always a discussion, does it help or not? And to be honest, in most cases it's hard to get the data. Mm-hmm. Or not to get data, but to get actual data and to link the data.
Yeah.
So because we often have lots of different data sources, yeah, often different Excel sheets, yeah, sometimes third-party systems. And the biggest challenge at the beginning of a planning project is to bring this data together into one digital model. Mm-hmm. And it's not a question to have really high sophisticated AIs to work with this data. It's more a question to make this transparent and visible and usable for the worker, for the planner, excuse me, mm-hmm. to have this creative process of designing the new material flow.
Mm-hmm. So, and those planning algorithms that you have implemented in your software, so they are giving you a suggestion of the planning and how it could be done. Yeah. And then the planner can bring in his creativity and change this initial planning. Is that, did I get that right?
Yes, it's always a question about the detailed use case. So if you talk about the line side material, it's exactly like this. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Our algorithm makes a suggestion for the placement of all the boxes, of the placement of the racks. So we take care of all the other facilities inside the factory. And use this to create our 3D geometry and make numeric data. So the number of boxes we need for this logistic workplace or for this assembly line or something like that, we make this visible. Mm-hmm. And after this, it's not fixed, it's flexible. So the planner could use this data to manipulate it. So he could directly jump into this model, move the rack, change the rack, change the box, move the box. So, it's really important to be the chief of the planning and have the possibility to change this, because we don't have all the necessary information inside our digital model. Yeah, so there could be some information only in the mind of the planner itself, and he needs to take care of this information.
Okay, I see. And at any time in the process, I can basically push the magic button and jump into VR and see if this helps me more, this kind of view and this 3D view. And yeah. If I don't want it, I don't need it. And then I just stay in my 2D visualization.
Yeah. Right? 2D is normal with Epoloc, and we have lots of export functionality. And one is that we could export this in a format that you could use it in a VR visualization. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. If I'm thinking back when I was responsible for logistics planning back at BMW some years ago, I remember that probably 70%, maybe even more of the time that we used for planning was gathering all the data to mm-hmm. do actually the logistics planning job. Is it still that way, or how does it look today, Tobias?
Yeah, it's data is always a big question. So right now, if you do a first project, it's you have the same work. You need to collect the data, yeah. And we have really easy interfaces, for example, to import Excel sheets. So you have a logistic quantity framework with all the parts. You often have it in Excel. You could import it with Excel, and it's fine. Yeah. We have some tools to support this data collection and import process, yeah, but that's always the beginning. Later on, we have a lot of different interfaces like web APIs, where we could build direct interfaces to third-party systems, especially for the needs of our customers. And that's always the target if we work together with our clients to have integrated software solutions together with all the other systems. Because you will have a CAD system for your layout planning, for example. Mm-hmm. You will have an ERP system. There are other systems for example, planning of the optimization or some parts of the production. And these need to be linked together. And that's something which is possible. But it will be hard to do this as a first step. So you need to start slow. First, do it manually, and later on, integrate it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, and if the data in the process changes, which is always the case, because the items that you are planning for are actually changing, so the bill of material changes and so on, then you have to do this to retrace this manually, or is there a tool for it to keep on track?
Yeah, the first thing. If you have these integrated interfaces, you could do it automatically. But the process inside our software or inside the logistic planning depends on the changes. So some changes could be automatically involved into the planning. So for example, if there is an update in the number of parts you need, yeah, in the production, that's something you could change, and you could directly see the results to the numbers of taco trains, AGVs, or area. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But perhaps there is a bigger change. For example, you need a part at a completely other position inside the factory. Then it could be that you need to do something manually. For example, if you have taco train routes, you need to reconfigure the route. Mm-hmm. Or you need to start our algorithm who suggests a new route. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. So if you have an AGV, that's flexible, no problem. Yeah, you could directly use this new position for the new part and recalculate everything, and it's fine.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And one other question that I'm always being asked is, how does the planning change with deployment of AMRs, like autonomous mobile transports. So because those are not AGVs anymore that follow always the same line, they could actually drive to the right side or to the left side or find a new path, which is the advantage of the AMR. But how do you plan that stuff in the future? What is your approach to that? Or your thinking? Or do you have already something?
Yes. Okay. It was implemented really at the beginning of our functionality to simulate AGVs or AMRs. Yeah. So Of course, we could say there's a fixed route, so like a trucker train, yeah? Or you could say it's a direct transport like a forklift, yeah? And it always looks for the shortest or fastest way to achieve its target location. And that's the normal way to simulate factories right now, because it's more and more the future that you will have AMRs in the factory. Of course, there are some special things you need to take care of, yeah, because we don't know all the parameters of reality. So it's always a digital model. Mm-hmm. So, for example, if there is a traffic jam or something like that, because there is a worker at the street and the AMR in reality will use a completely other way. That's something we can't simulate. Yeah, mm-hmm. But it's okay. If you talk about the numbers of AMRs you like to or you will need for the factory, that's something we could simulate very easy. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But basically, then you are building blocks for different tasks that the AMR is fulfilling, like for docking underneath a container or something. It takes normally that and that amount of time, and you got this and that variation on it, and that's the input for your simulation, right? Mm-hmm. But you're not really simulating the actual brain of the AMR.
And yes.
Now I'm driving to the right or to the left, so that's not part of the simulation, right?
Right, not. So to explain a little bit how we work with simulation, because it's really special. Mm-hmm. Epoloc is at first a logistic planning tool. Yeah, or planning platform. So our first focus is not to simulate a material flow. It's more that you do the planning. So you bring the data together, you design the material flow. So you have possibilities with a workflow designer to create all the different steps you have, decide which process do you need, which resources do you need, and create these overall material flow. Of course, there are some parts where you need to design the layout, design your transportation network inside the factory, and so on. And with just one click, you could simulate this in our software. So you don't need to program anything, any method, or you need to write code, yeah? Mm-hmm. Because based on the data in the background, and of course, we have a digital model of an AMR, yeah, mm-hmm. And where you could give some parameters to it. But based on our algorithms, we created 3D simulation in the background, and you could see it in 3D, and you could see the results directly based on the actual planning. And if there's a change inside your plan or inside the data you update, then you directly will see the results to the digital model and mm-hmm. to the simulation. So that's the first important thing, because it's completely different like the normal material flow simulation, you know.
Yeah, that's interesting, because normally you would have to build it up separately to simulate it. And this is basically integrated in your planning tool, and you're using the planning parameter to simulate the logistics environment, right?
Yes, right. And that causes... that you need only 2 days training to do a logistic planning with our software mm-hmm. because mm-hmm. it's that easy. Mm-hmm. But on the other hand, it's really, really focused on these logistic planning use cases. So we could simulate AGVs, tucker trains, and forklifts, mm-hmm. and we could simulate the people. So a picking process or the worker inside an assembly line, for example. But that's everything we could simulate. Yeah, we can't simulate a cobot or a robot or we are not able to simulate the warehouse in detail. So if you talk about an automated warehouse, mm-hmm. so that's only a black box for us. Mm-hmm. We're really focused, and that's the reason why we could do it that automatically. So the planning and the simulation well integrated.
Mm-hmm. And if you're then taking a look at the simulation while running, could you do this also in VR? Is that also possible with this magic button that we were talking
right
about?
Right now, not. So we're working on some ideas to make it a little bit more integrative. So we have a really strong visualization right now, but we plan to improve this. And mm-hmm. there are some really inspiring ideas to bring a lot of different data, real-time data as well, into our visualization.
Yeah, a lot of new ideas there. And you actually mentioned now one other very interesting topic, and I can remember that also from my past planning experience, that it always, usually you always use the existing real world data to start your planning, right? So
you would like to go what's
going on the shop floor. How do you see this integration of the planning world and the physical shop floor world? How does this happen in the future, or is it already there, or how do you see that?
Yeah, so it's really important to connect the factory planning, so the more strategic planning, with the daily business. So at the end, you need to have a digital planning model who is really close to reality.
Mm-hmm. Some call it digital twin, right?
Yes, but digital twin sometimes, or from my side, I would say digital twin is always the real-time data digital twin.
Yeah, right.
And if you talk about the strategic planning, you could say it's a planning digital twin, but I like to say it's a digital model.
Yeah.
Because it's like the digital twin of the factory, but in the future.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
And to create such a digital plan of the planning, it's always important to use the data you have right of your existing factory. So mm-hmm. One part could be to use data out of your MES or EOP system as a numeric databases for the factory mm-hmm. planning or the logistic planning. Mm-hmm. Another thing is to have the 3D geometry out of the real plant. So in this case, there are really smart companies like Nevis mm-hmm. Who have scanning trolleys or like a scanning backpack. Yeah, mm-hmm. You could walk or move this trolley through the factory and you will have a really fast, really accurate 3D model, which helps to have a 3D model for the logistic planning afterwards.
Or maybe in the future we can actually use the AMR data to create digital mapping of the factory. Yeah?
Mm-hmm. Right. So there are some really great ideas, because if you have the LiDAR sensor, you could use perhaps this data as well to have an actual version of the map. Or you have a map right now, but a 3D model is a little bit more complicated, but we could create this as well. So from our side, it's we only need to have a 2D model to do the logistic planning. So all important logistic 3D data we could create by our own. Yeah, for example, the placement of all the racks and boxes and so on. But of course, it's nice to see the facilities around the logistics in 3D as well, and not only 2D.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Coming back to the data point and the actual shop floor data, Tobias, because this is also an interesting point. There are some companies out there specialized on that and getting advantage out of this data. I just want to mention Celonis, another Munich company. I think they just raised $1 billion. I don't know. I'm not sure if it's dollars or euros, but $1 billion at a valuation of $11 billion. And I was always wondering about that, because we had always in logistics planning and in my former jobs, we always had a hard time, first of all, getting the data, but that is something that could be solved. But even if we solved it, everybody wanted to have the transparency, and it was great to see of what data you have and the different charts that you could get out of it and so on. But we were really having a hard time getting getting some real money out of that data. Yeah. So some real improvement out of that data. That's why I'm always wondering about those kinds of valuations out there. How do you see the data point? Do you got some experience in that direction, or how do you see it?
You mean especially if you talk about the shop floor data?
Yeah, and getting advantage out of the shop floor data.
Yeah, so
you probably see it more as a input data for the planning process, right?
Yeah, right. So we do not work directly with the shop floor data. Of course, we have a really detailed model, so you could start really in the strategic phase of a planning, and you could detail this model down to the SOP of a new product or a completely new production. Mm-hmm. So that's the first great thing if you talk about EPOLOG and our digital model. Mm-hmm. And that's the unique part. You could use this model in operation as well. Mm-hmm. So and in this phase of the planning, so it's more tactical planning, yeah? Mm-hmm. So it means if you want to make small improvements, if you want to have changes like a new production program or changes in the variants you like to produce inside a running factory, you could use our digital twin, yeah, name it like this, mm-hmm. to try out these changes in a sandbox, yeah, mm-hmm. to see the effects to the factory, especially to the logistics, and make right decisions. For example, you know you need to have more workers in some of your logistic areas or something like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's something where we use this operational data to give a benefit to see the effects of the near future. Yeah. And of course, if you use your model on a daily basis, mm-hmm. in operations, you always have an accurate model if we talk about future projects. So if there are bigger changes on a more strategic level, you could start directly on a really accurate digital model to make these, for example, what about the next product we want to implement next year? How does it look like? And then you have a perfect model of the reality right now. You could make a scenario of the future, and you're really fast and really close to the reality.
Mm-hmm. And I understand that because if you're taking a look at the planning process, you always have quite big advantages because you can actually redesign the whole process, right?
Yes, right.
But if you take a look at the running business on the shop floor, yeah, you might be able
That's
to,
hard, yeah.
to tweak it a little bit to the one side or to the other one or to get the high runners closer by and so on. So there are some improvements, but I just cannot imagine that the improvements are that high that you can get it on the running shop floor. But yeah, I would love to if somebody from Celonis is listening, I would
perhaps
love
in to, another episode. Yeah.
Yeah, I would love to have an episode about that.
Now, so that's correct. If you have small changes, it's always hard to achieve big results, and that's a great thing if you talk about the more strategic planning. If you have bigger changes in the layout, in the process, or in the overall material flow, it's really great to achieve good results. But if you implemented this material flow or this layout, then you are really limited. Yeah, and that's the reason why there is that huge focus on the logistic planning process, because it's in this process, you have the possibility to design the factory in the best way to achieve the best results in a running factory later on.
Mm-hmm. Tobias, going a little bit more into the future stuff, I know that you are working with a company that I'm a real fan of, yeah, which is NVIDIA. and actually, you're working with two companies that I'm a fan of. The other one is BMW.
Right. Yeah.
But let's stick to the NVIDIA part. NVIDIA is bringing out a lot of really cool new stuff regarding 3D visualization, and the latest thing was Omniverse. And I think that's also something that you took a look at. And what is your opinion, and what are you up with? What can you tell us about the work with NVIDIA?
Yeah, you're right. We work together with NVIDIA. That's correct. So we were featured at the keynote some weeks ago, that we are part of the partners working together with Omniverse. So that's something really great to be featured like this. And of course, for us, it's really important to have a digital model who is really close to reality, I told you. And the other thing is that for us, it's really important to have these interfaces to third-party systems to have an overall digital model based on lots of different tools. They need to work together, and you need to have the data flow through all these different tools, that you have really accurate data, that we have really actual data. And that's the reason Omniverse is really interesting for us, because Omniverse gives the possibility to use the data together with other systems, to exchange the data, and to have real actual data inside our software. So, but it's not only one way, it's both ways. So we could get data out of the factory planning, for example, but we could also give our data into Omniverse to, for example, visualize it, but also use it in other systems.
And you could also change the data, right?
So right, yeah. That's
so coming back to our initial words that we had on the VR planning. So I could imagine the VR planner or the logistics planner in VR moving some boxes around, and then you could actually give back this data, new data, to the virtual plant in Omniverse. Is that correct?
Yes. So it always depends. Right now we don't have this interaction in VR in Epoloc. Yeah. So that's something we need to take care of. But from the general point of view, it's correct that you could change the data inside our software, move it, and visualize it back into Omniverse. So, but it's not the question, does it the planner move this box or our algorithms?
Yeah.
Sure. So that's not a question, but the question is it possible to have this data in one platform where you could use the data and other tools as well? So that's the important thing for us.
Yeah. And where do you see this cooperation with NVIDIA heading for you? Is this really now a future project, or is this coming to Epoloc really soon, or how do you see that?
Omniverse itself is open beta right now, so I think Omniverse itself, there need to be a little bit of progress to use it really in the factories worldwide. But on our side, we have a running version of Epoloc work together with Omniverse, and we plan to bring it to first customers really soon. Yeah, it's not open to everyone right now, and this could take some time. So I don't like to promise anything for all of our customers, but with first customers, we plan to use it really fast, in first projects.
Okay, cool. Well, very cool. Tobias, one question that I ask everybody, of course, in this podcast, as I'm always looking into the future of logistics. So I always ask everybody, what is the future, or how does the person see the future of logistics? let's say if we take a look at 2030 and beyond. But actually, in your case, I want to ask, in addition to that, how do you see the future of logistics planning in that time horizon? That would be interesting for me and for our audience, of course.
Yeah, okay. Yes, let's start with the logistic in total. Mm-hmm. So I think we see lots of trends right now in the logistics. So talking about more and more autonomous transports inside a factory. And I think this will be a trend you can't stop anymore. So the logistics itself will be more and more automated, but more and more autonomous as well. And of course, there will be, I think there will be a lot of jobs, manual jobs as well, but it will be a less important part if you talk about the logistics inside a factory. So I'm always have to focus on the logistics inside a factory. Mm-hmm. So I think that's one part. And important to this is that it need to be more and more flexible. So in the past, we see at one hand really flexible manual processes, and on the other hand, really unflexible automated processes like conveyor systems or something like that.
That's right.
And that's something which is more and more combined. So you have the possibility to automate, but to be flexible at the same time. And that's the really new thing, together with the digitalization technology, more and more intelligence inside the automation and so on. So I think that's the biggest trend. And if we talk about logistics planning of the future, mm-hmm. we will see that it's more and more important to have integrated digital models. Yeah. So if you talk, for example, about AMR, yeah, the AMR itself is really intelligent with all these AI algorithms or something like that. Yeah. But to do the planning, you need the integrated model. You need to see how does this AMR works inside the whole logistics environment. And I think one part is to bring all this data together like we do it right now, but to have more and more standard interfaces, yeah, like the ideas we have with Omniverse. Yeah, so more and more standards. Right now, it's really unique, every interface we have for all our third-party systems, because every customer has really different tools and they use the tools really different. Mm-hmm. And I think that's one important part to have more standard interfaces. We have it if we talk about AGVs or AMRs right now. We talk about the norm we have in Germany in the automotive industry. So that's important for the or logistic planning as well.
Mm-hmm. Do you mean the VDA 50?
Yeah, it's 50-50.
Right?
Yeah, okay. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Podcasting, Tobias. I know that you are doing a podcast yourself.
Yes, right.
In Germany. And it's not only about logistics. It's about the factory, actually, right? How would you describe it, and who are your guests in the podcast?
Yes, I have the Fabrik der Zukunft podcast. So mm-hmm. if you translate it, it will be the Factory of the Future podcast. Mm-hmm. It's a German podcast. Means most of my guests are German speaking, and we always talk about the question: how does the factory of the future look like? So. We have different perspectives if you talk about the factory of the future, sometimes more technology focused, but in most of the cases we talk about the different use cases we will see. Yeah. It's always a question about production technologies, but also a logistic technology. So logistic is a more and more important part of the factory of the future, I think, because of this flexibility we do need to have in our factories. Mm-hmm. And it's really interesting to see all the different ways you could work on this factory of the future, because sometimes I have scientists, I mm-hmm. have lots of plant managers, for example, inside my podcast, and technology providers as well.
Mm-hmm. And can you see any trends for the factory of the future that everybody is heading for? And what was the most interesting interview? I mean, besides the one we did about my new book on logistics innovations, of course.
Yeah, this was the best episode ever.
Yeah.
We will do one. So I highly recommend the episode. Innovationen in der Logistik.
Right, but it's in German, but we will do an English one on the Logistics Tribe channel also. I promise
perfect.
That. Yeah. When the English version of the book is coming out.
Yeah. Okay, perfect. Yeah. Now, I think there, especially if you talk about the logistic community, there are some really interesting podcasts. So, or the podcast episodes. One was together with Motion Miners and Festo, talking about the question how you could support the logistic optimization together with tracking and AI. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I think this could be interesting for your podcast as well. Mm-hmm. Of course, we had a podcast with Ideal Works. Yeah. So the AMR company founded by BMW, you know very well.
Yeah.
So I think that's
with Jimmy Nassif, right?
Yeah, with Jimmy Nassif. Mm-hmm. So I think this could be interesting for the logistics community as well.
Mm-hmm.
But I will also have a podcast together with Arculus. So this could be interesting to see some comparison, but some totally different aspects. So how they do the fleet management, for example, and how do they see the modular production of the future, because if you talk about modular production or matrix or flex cell, there are lots of names for it, but then you need really flexible material flows at the end, and that's always a big topic. So how you could make the factory of the future more flexible, of course it need to be more efficient, and also it need to be green. And to bring all this together, it's a really tough job. But together with clever people on the one hand, and on the other hand, smart technology, it could work.
And I understand that the more you go into the future of the factory of the future, the more it gets into logistics. I love to see
that. Yeah,
of course,
of course. No, it's I talked with a manager out of a German automotive company, and I presented my vision of the factory of the future, and he said at the end, we need to call it a little bit different. We need to mix it, mix the word assembly with logistics. Mm-hmm. So he said it in German, so it's hard to translate, but it's like you will say assemblistic.
So a word a bit, connecting the two words.
Because it's if you have that flexible factories, logistics will be a really deep implemented part of the production. You can't separate it like you do it today. There's the production, there's logistics area or something like that. Mm-hmm. There's a person who's responsible for the logistics. There's a person who's responsible for the assembly line, for example.
Yeah.
That's something you won't see in the future like this. Mm-hmm. And that's perhaps one of the biggest changes in the future.
And is sustainability also a topic in your podcast?
Yeah, of course. So as I said, flexible, efficient, and green. So this works together. And you need sustainable in the best case, zero impact factories. Yeah. So that's something you can't afford, in my opinion. Yeah, there will be always a negative impact to the environment, because if you build a building, it's negative for the environment, but there are lots of ideas how you could do this in a way that it's more and more friendly to the environment. And it's a big topic. Of course, we will talk about digitalization and a more flexible factory, but overall it needs to be more green.
Yeah, you're right. And even if Tesla is building a factory, then you got some sustainability issues, right?
Yes. So,
and even if it's a factory for electric vehicles.
Yeah.
All right. It was a pleasure talking to you, Tobias. I learned a lot. Thank you very much.
Thanks for the time. Thanks for the possibility to be here. And it's great to have a more logistics-focused podcast like yours. So thanks for the job you do.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. Right, that was the Logistics Tribe podcast episode with Tobias Herrick from iPolog and Fabrik der Zukunft. If you enjoyed today's show, please consider dropping us a quick review on Apple Podcasts and make sure to subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss any of the future episodes. After a short summer break for the last couple of weeks, we are now fully back to our normal schedule, so watch out for another show next week. I'm Boris Felgendreher. Until next time.